This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. Stock futures are pointing lower this morning following another tariff threat. ABC's Nicole D'Antonio with more on which countries are affected by this one.
Mexico and the European Union are joining a growing list of countries whose imports will face tariffs beginning August 1st. In a letter to the EU and Mexico posted on social media, we know that President Trump announced that all imports will be subject to a 30% tariff. Both criticized the move, but said they wanted to keep negotiating with the U.S.
Following a pause in shipments 2 weeks ago, the president says the U.S. will now be sending weapons to Ukraine once again. The president today meeting with a NATO secretary general to explore who will exactly be paying for those weapons. Two women were killed on Sunday at a church in Lexington, Kentucky, both shot to death by a suspect who was later shot and killed himself by police. Preliminary information indicates he may have had some connection to the two women who were shot, but they are still sorting out the details. This is ABC News.
As Wisconsin is hitting the road on your Harley, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Senator Tammy Baldwin was in Wisconsin this weekend to talk about the impact of cuts to Medicaid such as Badger Care in Wisconsin. With more, here's Civic Media's Lisa Hale.
U.S. Senator Tammy Baldwin toured the Emergency Services Department of Amplify Bell & Health's Green Bay Hospital Saturday. She was there to gauge the impact that cuts to Medicaid will have. ER physician Dr. Bradley Burmeister told her the cuts will be felt at the care level.
By both law and our moral ethics as emergency physicians, we like taking care of everyone whenever they need it. I don't even know what type of insurance people have, but when we're going to see less people on Medicaid and we're going to have folks skimming off the top for profit, that really sort of puts the squeeze on us to make sure we can continue viability and so we can continue to deliver the care that we need.
Senator Baldwin said when talking about the budget bill that it's about more than just numbers. It's about the people.
And let me be very clear, this measure that was passed last week will hurt our state. This bill will hurt the over 270,000 Wisconsinites who will have their health care terminated. 270,000. That's just about the entire population of Brown County. Just think about that.
Baldwin encourages people to continue contacting their senators and representatives and even state lawmakers to encourage a reversal of the Medicaid cuts. For Civic Media News, I'm Lisa Hale.
The biennial state budget was rushed through earlier this month in part because of an effort to lessen the impact of federal Medicaid cuts. An air quality alert is in effect until noon for our listening area. Hot temperatures to start the week will give way to more normal temperatures for mid-July by the end of it. Highs today will be around 90 with sunny skies. It'll be mostly the same tomorrow with highs above 90 in some spots here in the Cooley region. Highs at the end of the week will be right around 80 degrees. We'll have more details in our Civic Media forecast. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
The Brewers draft is underway. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports, baseball. The MLB draft continues today. In the first round, the Brewers selected third baseman Andrew Fisher of the Tennessee Volunteers, who scouts say has modeled his swing after the Phillies' Bryce Harper.
I'm working on my swing in the cage a ton. I'm trying to emulate Harper as much as I can. Obviously, he has different rhythm in the box and different approach sometimes, but I mean, how could you not watch a guy like that hit?
In all, the Brewers drafted five players, two infielders, three pitchers. Yesterday, the Crew beat the Nationals 8-1. Freddy Peralta giving up just one run in 6 2/3 innings. Peralta asked about heading into the All-Star break, just a game behind the first place Cubs.
I think that we are in great position right now. We're doing great because we are not thinking about how far we are from the first place.
NBA, the Bucks introducing Miles Turner, who showed off his new jersey.
See me in this bus green? Or my girlfriend tell me I look good in green, so you know it's gonna be a seamless feat.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
As Wisconsin is cheering on Bucky Badger, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 87 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the mid to upper 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s with a few scattered thunderstorms by tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Currently, it is 66.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. In the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m.
In sitcoms, when someone has a problem, they just blurt it out and move on.
Well, I lost my job and my parakeet is missing. How was your day?
But the real world is different. Managing life's challenges can be overwhelming. So, what do? We get support. The Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council have mental health resources available for you at loveyourmindtoday.org. That's loveyourmindtoday.org. See how much further you can go when you take care of your mental health.
Maggie Dawn.
Matt Rothschild is in the guest host seat with me on Monday. We keep you up to date. Who's out and who's in? Is it Bongino and Patel or Bondi at the DOJ?
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays 4 till 6. You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
Across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. It is 6:06 on this Monday morning, July 14th, 2025. It's another beautiful morning to have you here up north, live from Lake Wissota. From wherever you're spending your mornings, listening across the Civic Media Radio Network, or listening to us by podcast or watching us on one of the different social media platforms, Facebook or YouTube. Thank you for starting your day and your week right here. I got a question for you, and it's from our Sunday morning newsletter that we put out at Up North News. The Democratic Party, going too far to the left or just right? Turns out when I asked that question in yesterday morning's newsletter, it provoked a lot of response from people who are looking at some of the candidates, like the fellow who just won the New York City mayoral primary. And it's either causing them great happiness that Democrats are no longer being so squeamish, or great alarm that it's turning off moderate voters. Now, I'm not saying there's one right answer or another. We won't know until the next election days that come up. But clearly people have opinions on it, so that's one of the things that we will talk about this morning here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is, for personal reasons, a big show for me. It's our 600th morning show together across most of the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network. Been doing this for 2.5 years now. But the 600th show for some of you is the first show for a couple of others and some new places around Wisconsin. So we're happy to be heard in parts of the Fox Valley this morning. So at the risk of being redundant for some of our longtime listeners, we'll give a bit of an intro, a little Radio 101 as to what this show is and what we've been doing for the past 599 episodes before a few other folks joined in as neighbors and friends. As we always do on Monday mornings, we'll talk to Dr. Kristen Lyerly from the Green Bay area and OBGYN, who is fresh off a meeting in Washington, D.C., with a focus in part on preserving options for rural health care in Wisconsin and all across the country. Also ahead, some Wisconsin members of Congress are getting rightly criticized for taking shots at Canada. You see, when your neighbor's house is on fire, it's not really a great time to send a letter complaining about the smoke. And yet that's what these Republicans did, people who don't have their own stellar record when it comes to forest management. Now, we're going to talk about a big weekend for the Brewers with Jimmy Koska. They enter the All-Star break, the Brewers do, with just a phenomenal record, a historic team record for the All-Star break. And we will talk later with Green Bay Area State Representative Ahmad Rivera Wagner, in part about what's he doing now. The state budget has been passed to much consternation, but it's all done. What do legislators work on now? I mean, I know the answer, being a former legislator myself, but we're going to hear from his point of view, how things go from here. We'll check in with a few other folks along the way. There's John and Gordy from our Madison station, Jane Matinere, whose show airs after this one across the Civic Media Radio Network, Up North News reporter Selena Heller, meteorologist Brittany Merlot, and producer Parker Olson all along the way. Let's see, from Roger in Stevens Point on Facebook, happy 600. Thank you, sir. The Brewers, after their 96th game yesterday, are 2 wins improved over last year. The only fly in the ointment is the Cubs are 11 wins improved, which we've said several times that Craig Counsell didn't have a great first season with the Cubs, but they seem to be firing on all the right cylinders now. Whether it lasts, we'll have to see after the All-Star break. Along the way, we would love to have you join us. Use that Civic Media app and send us a text message. You can text us at 855-75-CIVIC. Or if you're watching us on social media, put a comment there. We're on the Facebook pages of Civic Media and Up North News and the YouTube pages of Civic Media and Up North News. Also on my Facebook page, which is facebook.com/mornings with Pat Kreitlow. We'd love to have you along with your comments. You can send us an email, radio@upnorthnewswi.com as well. And you can find a lot of the work that I do throughout the rest of the day on our website, upnorthnewswi.com. We'll explain the difference between Up North News and Civic Media coming up in just a bit. But let's bring in the aforementioned Parker Olson from Madison Studio A2 to join us. When last we left Mr. Olson on Friday, he was about to work a doubleheader after the Madison Mallards were rained out. But it looked like there was going to be rain on Friday as well. So did you have a triple header at some point here? How did the weekend go?
Oh, the weekend went, Pat. We had the plans for the doubleheader. Luckily, the Northwoods League knows that that's a lot of baseball, so they shortened those games to 7 innings. We got in 5, so not the 14 that we were slated to get in total on Friday night. So I only worked on Friday, though, and there were no more home games for the weekend for the Mallards or the Nightmares. So pretty light weekend for me, oddly enough.
Well, good for you. Well, I wouldn't say light. I think you still did some kind of house project or something, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, we did have, probably like a week or so ago, we got water in the basement, so we were finally removing the furnitures in the cave down there. So got to get it all back right.
Okay. Well, you know, that's part of the theater of seasons we have here is, you know, one moment you're getting rain in the basement, the other you're hiding inside all weekend because outside it's downright unhealthy with all the level of smoke. Up here, it was like living next door to Canada. That's how thick the smoke was yesterday. It was just crazy thick. And, you know, we stayed indoors till the very near sunset when the smoke had finally lifted. But it was really noteworthy throughout the course of the day here.
Yeah.
Happy 600th episode, says Alicia, one of our regular commenters on YouTube. Thank you. We appreciate that very much. Meanwhile, on the text line, we have our usual share of, how do we call them? They're not fans if they're hate listening. but they're there, and they want us to know that they're there, and we acknowledge that they're there while at the same time not reading their comments and giving them, you know, the oxygen that they so desperately crave. But they keep listening and they keep writing in, and we appreciate your being a fine customer, boosting our numbers even if you don't want to.
I gotta love a good hater, you know.
Yeah, exactly. Did you I think Prime days are all over for Amazon? Did you get yourself something real nice off Amazon, or are you just happy to not hear about Prime days anymore?
I've never been much of a shopper in any capacity. I am fairly utilitarian of I need the things I need, and I don't want things.
And if you,
I don't know.
You need it. What, are you going to whittle it yourself if you need it? Or
I probably could. I mean, I wasn't a Boy Scout or anything, but I could probably figure that out.
All right. Sounds good. I did. That was so Sunday we were shut-ins because of the smoke. Saturday we went out to the Twin Cities to see my mom, and she likes that we play games when we go out there. She not only likes Scrabble, she loves Scrabble. And so she got something called Super Scrabble, with an extra large board and 2 or 3 times the number of letter tiles. I mean, if you end up that's a 3-hour marathon.
I was going to say, that sounds like it would take forever.
It does, but it's what makes her happy. And okay. So we do that. And, you know, and then she'll make us some lunch. She'll say, you know, my doctor says my numbers aren't really where they're supposed to be. And then she proceeds to serve us this delicious cake and some, you know, and some homemade soup with stuff that, maybe isn't supposed to be in there. But it makes her happy and it makes us happy. So
that's all that matters. That's all you need in life. Just be happy.
That's
are you listening, text line haters? Be happy.
Yes, be happy. Do the thing that makes you happy. And if it's sending nasty grams, that's fine, because you know what? We get a lot of love, too, here, and we appreciate that very much. Over at Up North News, we put together a daily newsletter. We'd love to have you as a subscriber for our unabashedly Wisconsin news. You can sign up over at upnorthnewswi.com. Let's see. There is on the newsletter today, I want to pull up our latest edition. We've allowed Henry the intern to take over for the summer here, and he's put together some really nice stories for us today. Oh, yes, he talks about Trenny Kaznarek, now Trenny Casey, sports broadcaster, who recently completed her leg of the MS Run the U.S., a coast-to-coast relay where runners each cover a section of the country. And Trenny's leg spanned 160 miles from Platteville to Tulsa as part of their MS Run and Rock Fest, a community event in Tulsa to raise awareness and funds for those living with multiple sclerosis. So, yeah, I said she did 160 miles, basically running 6 marathons in 6 days. And along the way, she raised an incredible $69,000 for the cause. Also in today's newsletter, a link to one of our articles on the website, 10 books by Wisconsin authors for your summer reading list. You can find that on the website, as well as a way to subscribe to the newsletter. Head over to upnorthnewswi.com for that. All right, let's talk a bit about the Brewers here. All-star Freddie Peralta carried a no-hitter into the 6th inning yesterday and gave up only 1 run, while Jackson Churio and Bryce Durang homered back-to-back, and the Brewers extended their winning streak to 7 games. With an 8-1 victory over the Washington Nationals, ending their pre-All-Star break homestand with a 6-0 record. The Brewers now have 56 wins at the break, the most in team history. How far they've come since, well, some of us might have been ready to give up on them as early as May 17th. Back then, you'll recall they'd been shut out for the 4th time in 5 games. Shut out twice at Cleveland, and then shut out twice at home against the Minnesota Twins. And at that point, the Brewers were 4 games below .500, 21-25. Since that time, 35-15, 20 games above .500 ball, and the best record in Major League Baseball during that stretch. So a sweep of the Dodgers, a sweep of the Nationals, but unfortunately, a sweep of the leg for right fielder Sal Frelick caused him to leave the game after making a sliding catch on the warning track in foul territory. The team said he had left hamstring soreness. You can be sore in a lot of places, Parker. Not your hamstring. It's tough where you go, oh, hamstring soreness, I'll be better tomorrow.
Well,
not necessarily. So.
Yeah.
If there's one person who's thankful for the All-Star break right now, it is Sal Frelick, because the Brewers are off until Friday. Well, the ones who aren't competing, of course, in the All-Star game. But everybody else has a much-needed, much-anticipated break before we end up playing the Dodgers again, this time in L.A., coming up later this Friday. But tonight, of course, would be the Home Run Derby. Tomorrow would be the All-Star game. A lot of baseball to come this week, and then the Brewers back in action on Friday. And when they are back in action, you can hear the Brewers on several Civic Media radio stations, including stations in Oshkosh and Richland Center, Racine Kenosha, Park Falls, and the newest Brewers affiliate, that of course would be WBZH, up in Hayward. All kinds of places to listen to the Brewers across the Civic Media radio network. Well, still ahead, we'll talk a bit about this program and Up North News and this host. 600 shows in, we've got some new listeners, so it's a great time to reintroduce the Civic Media Radio Network, what it is that we do around here, what it is that Up North News is that makes us so different, and why I enjoy being a bridge between both places, and happy to welcome you from the heart of America's Up North, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend a part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for the Todd Allball Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. In a chaotic and somewhat discombobulating end to the process, Wisconsin lawmakers passed a state budget and Governor Tony Evers signed it into law at about 1:30 a.m. on July 3rd. What made this budget different from the others signed in this era of divided government is that Democratic votes were needed to pass the budget in the state Senate. Part of the reason that was made possible is because of new, fairer maps. Last November, Senate Democrats flipped four seats, shrinking the Republican majority to just an 18-15 margin. Now, candidates are already lining up to take this the rest of the way and flip the chamber. Democrat Jenna Jacobson, who currently serves in the Assembly, is now running for Senate, challenging Republican Howard Markline in the 17th District. If Democrats can flip that district and one more seat, they could control the state Senate for the first time in more than 15 years. That would be a big deal for state politics in Wisconsin.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area.
Veterans, have you explored your benefits? The Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs is here for Wisconsin veterans and their families. Please visit wisvets.com. Sponsored by the Wisconsin Department of Veterans Affairs, with funding provided by the Milwaukee Brewers and the Brewers Community Foundation.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The big Brewer bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds, because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Love having you on live local radio across the Civic Media Radio Network, but we know you can't always listen live. And, well, let's face it, sometimes 6:23 in the morning just isn't your speed. And maybe you'd like to listen to your favorite shows a little bit later on. Fortunately, Civic Media gives you several ways to do that. First off, the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us. If you go to shows and then go to each individual show, you'll see that hour by hour, each one is listed as a specific episode, and you can listen right there through the website. But better yet, you can pod this program. We are a podcast. All the Civic Media shows are podcasts. So head over to Spotify and be a subscriber to our show, or Apple, whatever major platform that you use, and never miss a show. And even if you hear it and you want to listen back, there's your chance to do it as a podcast over on Spotify. All right. What's happening here? Who's this guy? Well, let's tell you first off that Civic Media, the radio station network you're listening to, and Up North News are separate entities, two relatively new digital media outlets, two great digital outlets for Wisconsin news and information. All right, digital outlets. What does he mean by that? It means we don't have a printing press here. And for Up North News, it means we don't have a broadcast tower. We are all online. Digital is the online part of it. And there's a lot of it. There's the website. There's all the social media platforms, Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, TikTok. There's newsletters that are emailed to you. All the different ways that you can provide information in this modern era. For Civic Media, that includes, I think, now more than two dozen stations in three different states, with news and information on a network of 11 stations across Wisconsin, which includes Green Bay and Oshkosh, Waukesha for the Milwaukee area, Madison, Richland Center, Wisconsin Rapids, Wausau, La Crosse. We cover the Chippewa Valley here in Chippewa Falls, Hayward, and Amory. And then, of course, music stations all over the state as well. So that's all Civic Media. A lot of great shows, a lot of great people. And then I'm here on behalf of Up North News, which is part of a national group called Courier Newsroom. And we started up operations for Up North News all across Wisconsin in January of 2020. Courier Newsroom has state outlets in Iowa, Michigan, Pennsylvania, North Carolina, Arizona, Nevada, New Hampshire, Texas, Virginia. And it all features values-driven journalism. In other words, there are some places where it's very obvious where they're coming from in their news and information, most of it in the far right media ecosystem. But there are a lot of places that advertise themselves as independent or neutral or mainstream or whatever you want to call it. And you don't really know what their values are. You don't know what really is guiding them. You don't know if the local newspaper editor, you know, or the publisher has an axe to grind or is influenced by certain advertisers. With us, with values-driven journalism, we tell you the values that guide our reporting, our fact-based reporting on the issues that are important to the communities we serve. You just go right to the About Us page at Up North News, and you'll see the issues and the values that guide us with reporting that is rooted in facts and in science and in the values of the communities that we serve. There is no guessing where we come from, and we welcome the feedback as a result of it. It's what has helped us build our newsletter from an initial circulation of six, the six people that were in the room at the time when we tested it out, to, you know, the six-digit subscriber base that we have now, and everybody that catches us on social media. And now through this radio show as well, where Civic Media invited us to help share some real estate here for 3 hours every weekday morning and talk a bit about what we're doing at Up North News, a bit about what we're doing at Civic Media, and help you appreciate the very best of both sites. As far as the guy who's yapping at you here, if you've missed some of the descriptions before, I am a native of two hometowns, Eau Claire and St. Paul. That's what happens when your parents divorce at a young age. And then attended UW-Eau Claire and was pretty smitten with Wisconsin from that point on, probably having something to do with meeting a cute farm girl from near Manitowoc. And we now have two adult daughters and four grandkids across a couple of different states. My own specialties are something named for the hometown here called Chippewa Waffles, which are waffles I used to make for all the girls' sleepover friends and for company when they come on the weekends, a little bit of cinnamon, a little bit of chocolate chips, brandy old fashions, and anything I can put together in my Instapot. I'm part of that cult in the kitchen. I have lived in Eau Claire. I have lived in Rice Lake. I have lived in Madison. I've lived in Milwaukee as a reporter for radio and TV stations. I have worked seemingly everywhere or been throughout the state, then as a state senator, and then as a candidate for Congress up north in the 7th Congressional District. There's hardly a place where I haven't done some kind of work of one sort or another, and I'm in love with it all. And I love being a bridge between our biggest communities and our smallest, because I've lived or worked in them or have family or friends in all of them, and love to help people understand that we have common values and that the real threats aren't so much about urban versus rural. The real threats come from those who would exacerbate the differences that there are between us. Now, for me, government isn't a them. Government is us. Government works. It works when service-minded people run it. And those who hate government the most should be trusted least to run it competently. So here you will find headlines and analysis and commentary, life from a guy entering his 60s. There'll be a little too much yacht rock here, and a guy tired of right-wing media getting a pass from traditional outlets, so a lot of fact-checking here as well. It's wonderful to have you along, and we'll continue with the program right after this break. For the Midwest Farm Report, we're live from Lake Wissota here on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Eagle 1490 AM. As Wisconsin as a fish fry on a Friday night, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Looks like there may finally be some movement on farm labor reform. I'm PM Yankee, starting you off before the opening bell on a Monday morning. Quick look at what's happening in agribusiness news. Wherever you come down on the immigration debate, the past couple of months have proven the growing need for farm labor reform for the agriculture industry. Washington Congressman Dan Newhouse is a member of the House Agriculture Committee. He says they've been working with the committee chair, G.T. Thompson, to try to get something done to make sure that farms across the country have the needed labor to safely produce food, fuel, and fiber.
We've been working on legislation, as you know, we've talked about before, to update and improve the laws and regulations around the guest labor programs that we have, the visa programs for agricultural labor. I think that's where this leads. It gives us a tremendous opportunity to finally get some of this legislation across the finish line.
Washington State Congressman Dan Newhouse. Now, he does say that law enforcement is going to continue to do their job and root out bad actors, as he calls them. But he says only Congress can tackle the issue head on and make sure that agriculture has their needed labor source. Markets on a Monday morning, a little mixed in overnight activity. We'll get you the numbers next.
Hey, got yield? The Wisconsin Soybean Association is excited to announce the 2025 Wisconsin Soybean Yield Contest. Highlighting the innovative production practices of Wisconsin soybean growers, the Yield Contest celebrates soybean growers across the state and their dedication to improving their operations. Two winners will be selected from four geographical divisions, with additional awards available. Entry forms must be postmarked by August 31st, so don't wait. For more information, visit wisoybean.org.
Don't let sick calves get you down and drain your profits. Get your calves up and moving with BioVet's Calf Electrolyte. Our Baselite product contains balanced electrolytes for restoring and maintaining proper fluid levels in scouring calves. Baselite also provides additional energy to support recovery. It's easy to mix, and calves are easy to drink it down to the last drop. Learn more about Baselite at bio-vet.com.
Innovation. That's BioVet.
Friday, the barrel cheese dropped 3.5 cents to 167.5. 40-pound block cheese down 2.5. 166. AA butter unchanged. This morning, the September corn is up 2. December new crop up 2 at 414. August beans are up 2. November new crop up 3 at 1010. September wheat's a penny stronger at 546. December up 2. 567. August class 3 milk that goes into cheese currently a penny lower at 1775 a hundredweight. September is up 3. I'm PM Yankee.
As Wisconsin as a game of cribbage with good friends, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
It is going to be mostly sunny today with a high right around 87 this afternoon. Tonight, mostly clear. We're going to drop into the mid to upper 60s for an overnight low. Tomorrow will be mostly sunny, high in the upper 80s with a few scattered thunderstorms by tomorrow night into Wednesday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Temperature now 67.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
Stephanie Bloomingdale, president of the Wisconsin AFL-CIO. The Big Brewer Bill is basically an all-out assault on working Americans.
No tax on tips. It's not as good as it sounds because a lot of tipped workers are not paying that higher level of taxes right. in the first place.
As the wealthiest among us dine at the feast of all feasts, don't be fooled by the table scraps.
The award-winning Maggie Dawn Show at its new time, weekdays 4 till 6 p.m. Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, we go beyond the cheese with the Canine Convoy based in Oconto. We're talking Dog Bus. Join us.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings 9 to 11.
Dr. Kristen Lyerly joins us from beautiful Northeast Wisconsin on the text line. Congratulations on 600 informative shows, Pat. Looking forward to many more to come. Jim from Brookfield. Thank you, Jim. Appreciate that very much. And Kristen Lyerly has been on about 587 of those 600 shows because she's got stories to tell and news to share and some great stories of her time as a college mascot. But we'll skip those for today because you were doing more of the serious stuff this time around. You were in Washington, D.C. last week as part of your work with the American College of Obstetricians and Gynecologists, or ACOG. How was your D.C. trip?
It was really good. It was really, really hot. Like
yes,
it gets hot in here, but it is so hot and humid there. I went for a walk on the National Mall yesterday, and when I came back, I was like completely soaked.
Oh, I believe it. I mean, Washington, D.C. is one of those places where, you know, everybody tries to get out of there for the summer for good reason. Uh-huh. And if you can't, you pay the price and you need to plan accordingly, especially for somebody like you who's got to be either walking or biking or doing something out there. So you also told folks about the look is different around there these days, a little bit more fortified or paranoid or however you want to call it. What was it that you saw around the White House?
The vibe, the look, it's entirely different. And it's all of these, there are a lot of little, I wouldn't even say subtle, but like different places, like at the USDA building, there's a huge banner of Abraham Lincoln on the right-hand side, and then that stern Donald Trump face on the left-hand side. And the juxtaposition is just really uncomfortable.
Wait a minute, is that a real thing?
It's real.
That there's a big old banner with Abe Lincoln in front of the Ag Building, which is a massive building, mm-hmm. and a thing of Donald Trump. See, I've seen that, and usually in memes, and it's being mocked in some way or another. And I didn't want to believe that that was actually real, that the guy is narcissistic enough to have a massive portrait of himself hanging on a government building. That's real.
You didn't believe that, huh? It is real.
I didn't want to believe it.
Wow. When I saw it with my own eyes, I thought, yeah, this is the world that we're living in. It actually, it felt very authoritarian, which is
Leader written all over it. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow. But the Dear Leader piece, Pat, I couldn't believe it. I've been to the north side of the White House many times. It's one of those places mm-hmm. where every time I'm in D.C., I have this path that I like to walk just to inspire me. And I read the quotes, and it's just like to think about the sacrifices and the history there is so incredible. But when I went to the north side of the White House this time, I was standing in Lafayette Square, and the fortifications around the White House keep moving back. The perimeter keeps moving back. So now there's this big, beautiful open space behind the White House, not directly behind, but like there's a directly behind, then there's a street, then there's a square. All of that is fortified. You can't even get across the streets to the gate that surrounds or the fence that surrounds the White House. It is so weird. I've never seen anything like it. And then there are just police everywhere. It is uncomfortable. People are talking in hushed tones. I talked with a police officer. He didn't know why the fortifications were there. It's just bizarre.
It seems like a lot of it is symbolism, you know, again, to underscore the importance, because we've come through many administrations in this modern era. Look, I get it. This isn't Harry Truman, okay? Harry Truman can't just walk out the gates and go for his little morning constitutional, you know, before beginning his day. But overkill certainly comes to mind on this, mm-hmm. and by design, to make themselves sound important. And it's one of the many distractions that are out there. I mean, we may or may not even get into, you know, the Epstein files and the controversy about that this week. But like, take his threatening to revoke the citizenship of Rosie O'Donnell over the weekend, which, again, we're not going to spend a lot of time on, except to put it in perspective. It's one of those shiny objects that, oh, don't think about this. Think about this instead. Think about Rosie O'Donnell and my taking shots at her, which, by the way, she had the perfect response for it along the lines of, hey, still living inside your head. Feels really good, even from way over here. But in terms of the work that you were doing out there, I know when you were heading out there, you said one of the things that the folks at ACOG are talking about is rural health, which it's obviously not just OBGYNs, but rural health overall was already on a troublesome trajectory for demographic reasons and so forth. Now you've got an administration hostile to rural health care with all of these Medicaid cuts, and I wouldn't be a bit surprised if you said that the tone about rural health care from an OBGYN standpoint is alarming.
Alarming doesn't even begin to cover it. Mm-hmm. 50% of our obstetrical patients who live in rural areas are on Medicaid. They can't afford the insurance to take care of themselves while they're pregnant, to get routine pregnancy care, and to pay for their deliveries in their hospitals, if they even have a hospital that they can go to. Because here in Wisconsin, we've lost over half of our rural obstetrical units in the last couple of decades. So it's this attack on us as patients in rural communities, and it's an attack on the places where we receive healthcare, the clinics and the hospitals. But I was really heartened by the acknowledgement, the recognition. The leaders that I was with are people from all over the country, and many of them work in big cities and in academic centers. They're in those places where we're doing the research and where we're training the students to send out to rural areas. And they're starting to get it in a way that city people kind of don't get country people sometimes. So, and I'm so proud to be a voice at the table. So they have committed to being a part of this solution. And, you know, by design, OBGYN practice, women's health, is DEI. Taking care of just women, that is under the umbrella of DEI. But we recommitted ourselves to the full scope of the work that we do out of necessity. And the irony is, as we were doing it, the headquarters for our organization is literally right across the street from ICE headquarters. So I was listening to the conversation and looking out the window and thinking, okay, this is our mission.
You're right that obstetrical care is very much, isolated by gender. And we're not supposed to allow that anymore. I would not be a bit surprised if Robert Kennedy Jr. outlawed obstetrics. Because, you know, it only takes care of women. So it's... We've had goofier things happen already out of this administration. So
it doesn't make any sense, but neither does much of the stuff that they're doing. Right. So when people want to default to common sense, like that would never happen, it doesn't make any sense. I know it doesn't make any sense, and it could certainly happen, and it may.
Yeah. And the thing is, again, obstetrical care is not the kind of thing that lends itself well to some aspects of, you know, telehealth, for example. There's a lot that you can do that way, but you need those rural clinics, you know, in Rice Lake, in Minocqua, in all of these places, because again, you can't get everybody driving 2 hours when they first experience, you know, labor pains or, you know, what might be a miscarriage or something like that. You've got to have people in these areas. And that's tough to do when you also have, as a part of this bill, and I know you put together a video the other day about this as well, you've got a bill that just passed that, along with all the cuts to Medicaid and everything, they're talking about limiting how much people can borrow in student loans through government sources to further their education, their graduate education, meaning medical school. And what that's going to do for people, you know, like my wife, who grew up on a farm and didn't have a lot of means but wanted to be a doctor. And you're cutting avenues to the next group of Wisconsin farm kids or anybody from a lower income family that wants to go into medicine. Kristen raises her hand. The girl from the family not of means from Kakana, you know?
Right. I'm a first-generation college student. There's no way. I have no parents. So there's no way I would have been able to go to medical school without student loans. And I had kids. So a lot of my student loans went to pay for my childcare so that I could attend classes. But now they're capping it at $200,000 total. And that is a lot of money. And I'm sure it sounds like a lot of money. Like, why can't you get that done? But when I graduated from medical school nearly 20 years ago, I graduated with over a quarter of $1 million in debt, $250,000. And that was 20 years ago. Mm-hmm. So capping it at $200,000 is really going to limit the number of doctors and the type of people who will be able to go into not only medicine, but other professional areas as well.
Now, there are folks saying, well, that's just the government loans. You can still go to a bank and get these things. Well, if you can, yes. But keep in mind, the requirements are going to be much more stringent there. And of course, that is just further proof that what this administration is doing is forcing people into essentially the for-profit, corporate, sometimes predatory lending sector, as opposed to making it, say, a national priority that we want people to have an education. And so here are lower interest loans to do that. You're good to pay it back. You know, how many people, again, who did not come from a family of means like me with Pell Grants, who have paid back their student loans many times over and have become taxpayers paying higher rates as a result of that higher education. I mean, that's the way it worked in this country for generations before an administration that said, well, you go to the bank, you go to Wall Street, and if they deem you worthy, they might take a chance on you. Or it might not be worth your while because, again, of the higher interest rate and everything else. So obviously a lot for you guys to talk about and process there. What have you been processing as a weekend show host? What was on the Dr. Kristen Lierley show last weekend? And what do you got coming up next weekend, if you know yet?
Well, Green Bay family, can I just first say I'm so excited to be on the air in Green Bay because you know how much I love Green Bay and Northeast Wisconsin. Yes, and I talk about it all the time, but you guys don't get to hear it. But now you do. So it's so good, so good to be on the air here. Last week on the Dr. Kristen Lierley show, we talked with Pete Silski and Jeremy Pingle. They are homeless outreach care coordinators for the city of Green Bay. They are working with all of these organizations all around the region to solve our unhoused problem, to help those folks who you see living under bridges and in parks and who you don't see because they're living in cars and just trying to figure out how to make it to the next day. The conversation is personal. It's beautiful, and they are really helping these people by surrounding them with resources to get into a housed situation. You're not going to want to miss it, especially if you're in Green Bay, but it doesn't matter. Anywhere around the country, people who are unhoused are everywhere, and it's not as easy as just putting them in a place where they can live. They need ID cards. They need food. They need jobs. They need connections. They need support, and that's what this program does.
All right. So that's where you'd find the Dr. Kristen Lierley show weekends on stations in Green Bay and Oshkosh. And of course, the Civic Media app, the Civic Media Network, and a Pingle, you say. I may have to see if this is a relative. My mom's maiden name is Pingle. Yes.
Well, he grew up in Nina.
Could be. I mean, there are more Pingles and Kreitlows than I ever thought. Turns out, you know, we're everywhere. We just kind of lay low until the time is right. Then we pop up on the radio or wherever you least expect us. So
that's really scary.
I know. Which gets us into all the 23andMe horror stories. But we'll save that for another discussion as well. One of the things that we did, well, let me please share one more text from Joe in Superior. Congratulations, Pat. We're so fortunate to have the Civic Media Network, Up North News, and Mornings with Pat Kreitlow. Joe, we appreciate that sentiment very much. One of the things we do here is a daily history lesson with music and other things that maybe you learned in class and maybe you're learning for the first time. We do that mornings here, powered by Up North News, on the Civic Media Radio Network, and we'll do that next.
As Wisconsin is dropping a line in your favorite fishing spot, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Why'd I go to the doctor? My heart would race just taking my son to practice. It didn't feel right. So I got checked out. Turns out I have atrial fibrillation, which increases the risk of stroke about 5 times.
Symptoms like irregular heartbeat, heart racing, chest pain, shortness of breath, fatigue, or lightheadedness can come and go. But if it's AFib, the risk of stroke remains. If you have symptoms, contact a doctor.
I'm so glad I did.
Visit notimetowait.com. Sponsored by Bristol-Myers Squibb and Pfizer.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. 5 years after the fake elector scheme to overturn the 2020 election, legal accountability is grinding along for some of the conspirators and those who wittingly or unwittingly supported them. But pardons may be in the wind, too. May 27th, a 3-judge New York appellate court stripped Trump campaign attorney Kenneth Chesbrough, an alleged key organizer of the swing state fake elector scheme, of his license to practice law in New York. June 16th, the alleged mastermind of the fake elector scheme, John Eastman, was recommended for disbarment in California. He can still appeal the decision. Also June 16th, a civil jury found MyPillow CEO and election denier Mike Lindell liable for $2.3 million for defaming former Dominion Voting Systems executive Eric Coomer. Dominion itself has a claim pending against Lindell, right-leaning news outlets, and several other Trump-alleged conspirators and collaborators. The Michigan Advance reported July 5th that a hearing on whether the trial of 15 of 16 Michigan fake electors should go forward has been moved to September 9th. A trial in Arizona is scheduled for January 5th, 2026 for the alleged fake electors and Trump associates, including his former chief of staff, Mark Meadows. Mother Jones reported June 4th that President Donald Trump's pardon attorney was considering pardons for the accused fake electors. We have more at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
I get why you, Senator Royce, were a no vote on this budget. I think the people that voted no on this were standing up for public education.
I think that's exactly right. We heard from people loud and clear in this budget cycle and 2 years ago, the number one priority that people asked for, whether they called, emailed, or showed up at the public hearings, they want our schools funded. Our kids deserve better schools. They have been underfunded for decades, and it is time for us to prioritize public education.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Download the Civic Media app in the Google Play or Apple App Store and take us everywhere. This is the Civic Media Radio Network.
All right, there's four people on this screen here on this radio program. There's me, there's producer Parker Olson, there's Dr. Kristen Lyerly, there's Selena Heller, reporter from Up North News in Eau Claire. Which of the folks on this screen strikes you most as a motorcycle rider and willing to be part of the movie Easy Rider, which opened this day in 1969? Who are you pointing at? Are you pointing at Selena?
Selena.
Okay, because you should be pointing the other way on my screen.
I think
she's actually
kind of
here on mine.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Brady Bunch.
Yeah. All right. Selena, we nominate you. Or what's your motorcycle history?
I've been to Sturgis. I've been to the Harley.
She's been to Sturgis.
Anniversary.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, congratulations, Kristen. You nailed it. So, Easy Rider, open this day, Born to Be Wild was there. Peter Fonda, Dennis Hopper as motorcycle riding free spirits. The soundtrack sold over 500,000 copies. And, of course, Steppenwolf's tune continues to be played today. Let's see. On this day in 1967, The Who launched their first large-scale American tour. They were an opening act back then in 1967, playing the first of 55 dates opening for... I want to see if you're as shocked as you were last year when I told you this. Herman's Hermits.
Oh, yes.
The Who opening for Herman's Hermits, which apparently they learned a lot from each other, the stories go afterwards.
I'm Henry VIII. am Henry VIII. I am. You know that, Parker, right?
No. Oh,
Parker.
Come on, Parker.
Sorry.
Parker, for the uninitiated, is 14 years old and is just a whiz of a producer, even at his tender young age. Oh, actress shucks. Jane Lynch is 65 years old today. Happy birthday to a very funny lady, as sarcastic as they come, which might be why I love her so much. Over the weekend, in 1964, 61 years ago this week, the Beatles released this little ditty. No, that. It's been a hard day's night, and I've been working like a dog. It's been a hard day. On this day in 1980, the Republican National Convention was held in Detroit to nominate Ronald Reagan. The organizers set up an all-American theme with Pat Boone and Donnie and Marie. The convention opened with Glenn Campbell and Tanya Tucker performing a duet with the national anthem. Glenn Campbell would later admit, quote, "We were higher than the notes we were singing." It's a great family values convention there. The number one song this week in 1979 was by Donna Summer.
This is Selena and I's theme song.
Yes. There's Donna Summer tooting and beep beeping her way to number one.
This
day, 46 years ago. Let's see. Let's talk about Michael Jackson's tune "Beat It," specifically the guitar solo in the middle. Let's play a little of Eddie Van Halen. Again, something he just kind of wandered in and played, but it was on this day in 1984 at the Jackson's Victory Tour stop at Texas Stadium, where Eddie Van Halen joined Michael Jackson on stage to finally play that guitar solo live from Beat It. Not a bad little ditty.
1984, greatest year in pop music history.
It was, yep.
Mm-hmm. You know, can I add in there?
Yes.
Right now, talking about joining on stage, the Chippewa Falls choir got to join Foreigner on stage over the at the Northern Wisconsin State Fair over the weekend.
What? I want to know what love is.
Yes, they sang that.
That's so cool.
Were you there?
No, I was.
Because I know I saw you at the fair on Friday, but okay, and Saturday. No. Saturday, I had a friend saying, "I can hear Foreigner from my house," and his house is miles away on the south end of Chippewa Falls.
That sounds like Sarah Palin talking. "I can hear Foreigner from my house in Chippewa Falls."
Jeez.
But had the local choir on stage. That's awesome.
Yes, what an experience. And the band even urged people to vote for legislators that funded arts programs.
Oh, I love that.
Good for them. They played in the Twin Cities the night before, and I know somebody was there and said they sounded great. So, good for them. I used to be of an age where I mocked all these oldsters who were singing, and of course you heard me last week going on and on about, you know, Chicago and some of the other acts that we saw. So, Foreigner, congratulations, you old men. You got it. You still got it in you.
Pretty soon we're going to be doing Daniel O'Donnell's greatest hits.
God, no, not Daniel O'Donnell. I so draw the line there. Oh,
sorry, Parker. Anyway,
I'm just along for the ride. It's fine.
Me too.
Yes. Yep. Of course, this is Bastille Day, the storming of the Bastille in Paris, this day in 1789, which showed the widely spreading discontent with the monarchy. On this day in 1874, the Chicago Fire burned down about 50 acres of the city, destroying more than 800 buildings, killing 20 people. That wasn't the only thing known as the Chicago Fire. Apparently, they had to burn down a couple of different times before they figured out how to get it right. And this is National Mac and Cheese Day. Here's my question about that. Mac and cheese, homemade mac and cheese, is really good. Can be really good. And it's one of those things I still haven't attempted yet for fear of it just absolutely failing and being like really bland or overdone or whatever. Anybody here make a homemade one yet?
Sure. Today is the day to be brave, Pat.
Okay. So you're not volunteering that you've done it. You're volunteering me.
Costco makes a great mac and cheese that you can just put in the oven.
Yeah, maybe that's where I need to go. And again, for the other things we do on the history calendar, it's usually some kind of a day, a recognition day or whatever. Some of them are awareness days, and it's fine to be aware of certain, you know, diseases or historical events. But instead of Lasagna Appreciation Day, the people behind this one named July as Lasagna Awareness Month. So again, we ask you, are you aware of your lasagna?
Where is it? Where is the lasagna?
Is Pat it making it this time instead of mac and cheese? Who's to say?
What is it doing?
What is it doing, and why do we have to be so aware of it? So much more coming up in the next 2 hours here as we do Mornings, powered by Up North News, live here on the Civic Media Radio Network. I'm Pat Kreitlow.
Soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Sherry Preston. We've just learned 9 people have been killed in Fall River, Massachusetts, about 50 miles south of Boston, after a fire broke out in an assisted living facility. Some people yelling out windows for help. Several people were hurt, including 5 firefighters. A famous building destroyed in the Grand Canyon as wildfires moved through there. ABC's Faith Abube.
Firefighters on the ground trying to extinguish the charred remains of buildings. Park officials confirming one of those structures, the Grand Canyon Lodge, a century-old staple, was consumed by the Dragon Bravo fire, which has now burned at least 5,000 acres. 40 miles north, the White Sage fire destroying more than 40,000 acres.
Lightning is believed to be what sparked both of those fires. 2 women shot and killed at a church in Lexington, Kentucky. The gunman later shot and killed by police. President Trump meeting with the NATO Secretary General today, vowing to send more weapons to Ukraine.